Welcome to No One's Legal Radio, part of Off the Hours, Open Conspiracy for Social Change on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, CKUT.ca on the World Wide Web. So we're talking about the call for boycott of World Pride before we went into the ads, and I'm just going to mention that this call for a boycott of World Pride follows in the footsteps and reinforces the larger international boycott divestment movement, which is demanding the right of return for all Palestinians, Israeli withdrawal from the occupied territories, and the abolition of the apartheid system. The Palestinian divestment movement is self-consciously modeled after the South Africa boycott movement during apartheid. This call for boycott has demanded and received a great deal of international support. This past weekend, the Boycotting Israeli Apartheid conference took place in Toronto. Rafif Ziada was one of the organizers, and we're going to play you some of her presentation from this past weekend. Rafif is a third-generation Palestinian refugee who is now based in Toronto. She works with a number of grassroots organizations working on Palestinian rights issues, including Samud, which is a Palestinian political prisoner support group. And this is an excerpt from her talk that she gave this past weekend.
Gentlemen, you have transformed our country into a graveyard. Gentlemen, you have transformed our country into a graveyard. You have planted bullets in our heads and organized massacres. Gentlemen, you have transformed our country into a graveyard. You have planted bullets in our heads and organized massacres. Gentlemen, nothing passes like that without account. All that you have done to our people is registered in notebooks. I wanted to start with this small section of this poem by Mahmoud Darwish in order to stress that in between all the maps and figures and quotations and dates, that Israeli apartheid is registered for us Palestinians in bullets, bulldozed homes, and maimed bodies. Understanding it, analyzing it, but most importantly resisting it is not a choice for us. We resist it in our refugee camps, in our ghettos, in our Bantustans, and here in exile, and we know that one day we will be free. This summer, as we were out in demonstrations against the invasion of Lebanon, all I could think about was Beirut 1982. 1982 was the first Israeli invasion of Lebanon and siege of Beirut that lasted 80 days. I lived through that siege as they continuously bombed us with the finest of U.S. military machinery. Our crime then as Palestinians was the same as our crime today. We were resisting the Zionist colonial project that stole our land. We were fighting to return home. They wanted to starve the resistance out of us. They wanted an entire population to bow down to them, and we did not then, and we will not now. I must confess that as children, when we had no food and our mothers were looking around with crying eyes, wondering what to do with us, we did wonder about those that were watching us on their TV screens in silence. We did wonder what solidarity meant as we were left with no shelter, no food, peasants turned freedom fighters standing against a racist state that was unleashing its immoral army onto us, backed by the world's leading imperialist power. Since then, there have been UN resolutions condemning Israel and a so-called peace process, but the massacres against my people continue. The starvation, occupation, apartheid wall, checkpoints, and Israel's Bantustan solution continues. The Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid has organized this conference to say clearly to everyone in Toronto and around the world that it is time for real solidarity, proactive solidarity. We are here together to launch a boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement to isolate apartheid Israel. This call is coming here from OISE Auditorium on occupied land in the settler colonial state of Canada. We are launching our BDS campaign tonight. We are taking up the call by the 170 Palestinian organizations for boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. We see this as a main responsibility for solidarity activists, especially ones living here in this settler colonial state that has shown utmost support for Israeli apartheid. The coalition demands are based on the demands from the Palestinian BDS call. One, ending Israel's occupation and colonization of all Arab lands, dismantling the apartheid wall, and freeing all Palestinian and Arab political prisoners. And on the issue of Palestinian political prisoners, as we speak right now, there are 10,000 of my people behind Israeli apartheid bars. 10,000 of my people, mothers, sisters, brothers, daughters, children, behind bars. When their three soldiers were taken, it took an invasion and hundreds more dead for their three soldiers. But their three soldiers will not be freed until our 10,000 are freed. And it's true that I'm not on the negotiating team, but I think it's a good idea to propose. The second demand for the coalition is recognizing the fundamental rights of the Arab Palestinian citizens of Israel to full equality. And third, respecting, protecting, and promoting the rights of Palestinian refugees to return to our homes and properties as stipulated in UN General Assembly Resolution 194. The Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid acronym is CAIA, so please get used to calling it that throughout the conference. It is a broad coalition of groups that came together to protest the visit of Israeli war criminal Ariel Sharon. The members of this coalition are the Canadian Arab Federation, and we would like very much to thank its president, who has been here and is a huge supporter of the campaign and this conference. Palestine House, and the executive director of Palestine House is also here with us tonight. Al-Awda Right of Return Coalition, Sumud Political Prisoner Solidarity Group, the Jewish Women's Committee Against the Occupation, Arab Students Collective, and by the way, Arab Students Collective was the launcher of Israeli Apartheid Week here in Toronto as well. Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, Ontario Region and York University, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, who we are very happy to have, and the Grassroots Anti-Imperialist Network, UFT and York. To come back to today. Today, Israel is starving the Palestinian people again in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Canada was the first state to cut aid from the Palestinian Authority to punish us Palestinians for the crime of electing our own representatives. So what does it mean to be in solidarity with Palestinians while we live here in Canada? I've boiled it down to three basic points. One, being in solidarity with the entire Palestinian nation. You cannot pick and choose which Palestinians under which territory you want to be in solidarity with. The majority of Palestinians are refugees, and our right to return is sacred. Second, understanding Israel as an apartheid state and rejecting the racist apartheid solution of Bantustans. And third, committing yourself to the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign until Israeli apartheid is dismantled. Let me start with the first one, because as a Palestinian refugee, I find it the most important, which is being in solidarity with the entire Palestinian nation. One of the key elements of Zionist strategy has always been the atomization of the Palestinian nation into different groups, each facing different political situations and capacities to struggle. Like all colonialist projects, Zionism attempted not just to displace the indigenous Palestinian population, but also to destroy any sense of cohesive Palestinian national identity. They want to see Palestinians as different occupied entities, 48 Palestinian, 67 Palestinian, refugee Palestinian. And many times, Western solidarity activists do join into this game and start to pick and choose which Palestinians they want to be in solidarity with. Most of the time, they settle on being in solidarity with those living in the occupied territories. And that is wonderful. Ending the occupation is great. But the majority of Palestinians are refugees not allowed to return to our homes. Ending the occupation is great, but ending the historical injustice committed against my people means us returning to our homes as well as reparations for the 58 years of suffering. Solidarity activists must see the right of return as integral to dismantling Israeli apartheid. Israeli apartheid is founded upon the notion of an exclusively Jewish state that denies equal rights to everyone else. And even here in Canada, the Canadian Jewish Congress states that the right of return of Palestinian refugees would spell the end of a Jewish state. In 1948, it was 80% of the indigenous Palestinian population that was driven out of our homes and land and became refugees. The Israeli state guarantees any person of Jewish background anywhere in the world the right to become a citizen of Israel, yet the indigenous population is refused our right to return. The right of Palestinian refugees to return to our homes and land is not simply a legal question, although it is guaranteed under international law. More importantly, it points to the fact that we should oppose any state that operates on the basis of one religious or ethnic exclusivity. The central goal of the anti-apartheid struggle is a state in which anyone can live regardless of their religious or ethnic background. And let's call it for what it is. When people want to say they defend the Jewish character of the Israeli state, what exactly are they referring to? Would a white South African stand here when South Africa was under apartheid and say, we want to defend the white character of the apartheid state? What they are trying to defend is racism, and we do not accept this racism, and we will call it for what it is. Since our expulsion, the Palestinian people have consistently called for our right to return. And here I want to make clear that when we refer to our right of return, we are referring to the right of Palestinians to return to our homes and villages from which we were displaced in 1948. It does not mean a return to a few hundred thousand refugees to the West Bank and Gaza Strip to live in the Bantustans that were described earlier. And this is a right that applies to Palestinian refugees that were expelled in 1948 and their descendants, such as myself. Also to the second wave of refugees created in the 1967 war, when Israel occupied the West Bank and Gaza Strip, forcing more Palestinians to neighboring countries and refugee camps in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Also, this right applies to Palestinians inside what is now called Israel. Palestinians who were internally displaced in 1948, and we saw the pictures of these villages, as well as the Palestinians living in unrecognized villages. This is a right, again, that applies to the entire Palestinian nation. The second point I had mentioned was understanding Israel as an apartheid state, but I don't think I'll go into that because it has been covered extensively tonight. But what I did want to cover was, what is the alternative to this apartheid system? If we're going to call it apartheid and reject it, what is the alternative we are speaking of? The solution that is being offered to us Palestinians is called the two-state solution, essentially meaning that Palestinians need to accept whatever Israel grants us as a form of a state in ghettos and Bantustans. Israel's solution is to maintain its apartheid system by giving some, not all Palestinians, some fig leaf of autonomy to call a state and unilaterally building an apartheid wall to place us in open-air prisons, while at the same time, Palestinian citizens of Israel continue to be treated as second-class citizens and where refugees stay locked out of our homeland. And here one would have to wonder how people concerned with human rights and justice would have reacted if the United Nations called for the territorial partition of South Africa along ethnic lines so that the apartheid regime could live in peace and security. Accepting the two-state solution is accepting the apartheid nature of the Israeli state, and it is accepting the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous Palestinian population. The strength of the South African anti-apartheid movement was not only in articulating a just solution for black South Africans, but also giving a way for the colonizing and oppressive powers to recognize their own humanity as well, by dismantling apartheid and living in equality. It did not advocate for separation, but rather equality, dignity, and human rights for all. Nothing articulates this vision of justice for both Palestinians and Israelis better than the slogan of one person, one vote, one state. The Palestinian anti-apartheid movement calls for no less than the South African anti-apartheid movement. If it is apartheid that we oppose, the solution is quite clear. Dismantle apartheid. Dismantle it in all its forms. In order to do so, Palestinians and Israelis should live as equal citizens in one state where you get no privilege from belonging to any one religion. It seems simple. It's racism we oppose. Let's end the racism. The creation of one state that is democratic for all its citizens is the only way to dismantle apartheid. Such a state would allow Palestinian refugees to return. Sadly, in recent times, we are told by many, even our allies in some cases, some of them really prominent, whose last names start with a C, that our wanting to return to Palestine is not pragmatic and simply not realistic because of Israel's strength and the unconditional support it receives from the United States. Well, of course, justice is never the pragmatic or realistic option for the colonizer, but it is the only option for the colonized. It is not up to us Palestinians to ensure a pragmatic working of Israeli apartheid by granting it its wish of casting us out of our land. Rather, it is our duty to expose the apartheid nature of the Israeli state in the way that it does not allow us back to our land, and to articulate a vision of justice for all, which we are doing here in the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, and which we will continue to do as we build this campaign together. There is a powerful momentum building around the world for boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaigns. On July 9, 2005, a call was made by over 170 Palestinian organizations to launch a global BDS campaign. And here I want to say that very often in my past 3 years of organizing here in Toronto, you keep hearing, we're not sure what Palestinians want us to do. We're not sure how they want us to be in solidarity with them. If only there was an ANC, we would be able to follow the lead. Well, here you have it. Palestinian organizations, grassroots organizations from inside the occupied territories, from inside 48 Palestine, and from the refugee camps all around the world are calling for solidarity in the form of a boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. In Norway, the first provincial council to have adopted a boycott of South African apartheid recently did the same in regards to Israel. In Quebec, and we have some of our Montreal comrades with us, again, a campaign for boycotts, divestments, and sanctions is growing. And I know that we have comrades from QP, at least QP 3903 is always representing. I'm a member of QP 3903. Also launched Resolution 50 for boycotts and divestments and sanctions. Our comrades in Kusatu, different comrades from England and Ireland, this movement is growing. But I want to stress here that the role we have here in Canada is also critical. The BDS movement is growing, but we have to see Canada's role. Because there is this widespread myth that Canada, in contrast to the US, plays a neutral and peaceful role in the Middle East. Nothing could be further from the truth, as most of you know. Canada is central to maintaining the US occupation of Iraq and the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. Dismantling these occupations means tackling Canadian government and business complicity in these oppressive regimes. Today, in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, we see the deliberate starvation of the population. This is a war crime now openly embraced by the US, Canada, and the European Union. Western governments have cut all aid to the Palestinian Authority and allowed Israel to continue its program of slow strangulation. Canada was the first to cut aid, to its shame. The Canadian state has been one of Zionism's greatest supporters since the inception of the Zionist state. First, one needs to only look at the support for Israel that cuts across the entire political spectrum. Those who like to call themselves progressives in the NDP, such as Alexa, I won't even bother pronouncing her last name, is a member of the Canada-Israel Interparliamentary Group. In trying to explain why and justify why she's a member of this group, she said, to dialogue with progressive Canadian Israelis. Prime Minister Paul Martin gave a strong and unequivocal endorsement of Israel. Israel's values are Canada's values, he said. And I do believe him, because if Canada's values are the ones occupying Six Nations land right now, then yes, they are the same. And I won't even begin, and allow me to say this, on that lunatic Harper, that as Israel was carpet bombing Lebanon, he said that was a measured response. The support on the political level is, of course, manifested on every economic level. The ties between Canadian corporations and apartheid Israel could not be more clear. Canadian companies directly support the manufacture of Israeli military hardware. As an example, Israel Aircraft Industries is Israel's largest industrial employer and biggest exporter. Its main area of work is the manufacture of military aircraft and equipment. A representative of the Israeli Ministry of Defense sits on the company's board. Canadian companies are key suppliers of IAI. Nortel, NMF Canada, and Ingenuity are just some of the Canadian companies that directly support and deal with IAI. Canadian corporations are making billions of dollars in profit from Israel's dispossession of Palestinians. The Canadian Highway Infrastructure Corporation, for example, is the leading company in the construction of a massive 86-kilometer highway called the Trans-Israel Highway. This highway is designed specifically to facilitate traffic between illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank and Israeli coastal cities such as Tel Aviv. In doing so, this Canadian company is aiding the expansion of Israeli settlements on occupied land and directly supporting Israeli annexation of Palestinian villages and towns. In this conference, we will also be speaking about the Jewish National Fund. The Jewish National Fund operates in Canada as a charity. The job of this Jewish National Fund is to build parks on destroyed Palestinian villages, and yet it operates as a charity here in Canada. Canada also carries on full economic relations with Israel, full not in the way that it carries them with China or Spain, but full in that it has a free trade agreement with Israel. The Canadian settler colonial state has a free trade agreement with the Israeli settler colonial state, and this is something we must work to end if we are going to live in this country.